Conduct better educational leadership evaluations in less time with Super Eval, the online rubric-based evaluation tool for superintendents, principals, and central office administrators. Better communication that leads to healthy, efficient leadership teams, only at supereval.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in. Evaluation or coaching? Since the days that I first began working with peer coaching and later with instructional coaching, I've always struggled with the amount of time that gets invested in a school in doing teacher evaluation and the growth that comes out of it. And connected to that, sometimes the administrator's role in evaluation actually getting in the way of the teacher growth that that the administrator and the teacher wanted to have as a focus. So I'm constantly looking for ways that systems and organizations are creating ways to have the evaluation that's necessary legally, contractually, and at the same time create the best possible environment to continually cause teacher growth that's focused on student growth. I have the opportunity to be working with the ACS schools of London and Doha. And today, Brianna Gray is here with me. And I'm going to ask Brianna to begin by introducing herself to you and then telling you a little bit about the ACS schools. And then we'll explore the program that they've put in place here.
Hi, I'm Brianna Gray. I am ACS's professional practice coordinator, and we are a group of four international schools with students who are 2 through 18 years old. We've got about 3,500 students on four campuses and about 550 academic faculty that are working with us. So my role is primarily with our performance effectiveness system, which is teacher evaluation and professional growth and teacher professional development.
So, Brianna, when I first started working with you, you were going through the implementation of a change in teacher evaluation and teacher growth. So mm-hmm. you want to describe the program that you've put into place?
Yeah. 3 years ago, we had every teacher participating in a full evaluation year every year. But last year, we made a change, and we've now moved to an evaluation cycle, which is 1 year in appraisal followed by 2 years of professional growth. So rather than go through a complete year of observations with administrators and survey summaries in a portfolio. Instead, during the professional growth year, the teachers will set goals for themselves at the start of the year. And those goals are student learning outcome related goals. And then they'll be able to focus on their own professional practice and professional learning throughout that year, reflect at the end of the first year, and then continue the second year with their professional learning that's goal-based with their students.
And I know that when you made the change, you had done some surveys with teachers and gathered information that led you to the change.
We did. The academic leaders of our school were responding to feedback from surveys, feedback that had been reported both anecdotally and in meetings. But our big surveys indicated that teachers did not feel that our performance effectiveness system was impacting teaching and learning at the level that we were hoping it would, which is the purpose of our PES. And they also reported that they were less willing to take risks. And we know that maximum growth comes from maximum risk in their appraisal years. So by implementing these professional growth years, we were hoping to allow teachers to focus more on those student oriented goals and take a little bit of a larger risk without that appraisal or evaluation coinciding with those.
Now, you made a decision to build peer coaching into the process. So give us a little description of that.
We did. At the same time we brought in professional growth, we realized that we needed some people on the ground to support that professional learning. And so it was a perfect opportunity to bring peer coaches on board. So our peer coaches are full-time teachers that have an additional responsibility in a teacher leadership position to work with their colleagues who are in professional growth and engaged in professional learning, and they're able to go in and coach and gather data based on the teachers' needs that they've identified.
I've noticed that every time you've had me here to do any training for your peer coaches, you've had the administrators be part of that same training. And I value that, but I'm wondering if you'd want to speak to it for a moment.
Absolutely. Well, our administrators, our academic leaders, they want to know, you know, exactly what's going on and what, you know, what their, how things are growing in their building. But more than that, these are skills and techniques that our administrators are also able to use when they're focusing with other colleagues in the appraisal year. So our administrators have this opportunity in a formative way to work more closely with some of their some of the teachers that they line manage. So they're using some of the same coaching techniques throughout the year before it gets to our summative, you know, appraisal decisions at the end. So they've been, we're all speaking the same language and using similar practices.
So you're early on in the program. As you look at the teachers who have, quote, bought in to working with coaches, what would you say those teachers have discovered as the payoff or benefit of that's caused them to join in?
Well, I think initially it was the teachers who were invited to coach our coaches. So we had our peer coaches who are brand new to the positions, who had been trained. They actually reached out to their colleagues and said, can you come into my classroom and help me with something that I'd like to work on? Maybe it's a new strategy or a group of students that I'm trying to reach. I've gathered this tool, I've created this tool, and I could really appreciate an extra pair of eyes, some data. And it was a completely non-threatening situation for their colleagues to come in. They got to have the coaching experience. They got to see what it was like. And then often they turned around and said, you know, I was looking and I teach those same students, or this would be really useful to me, or this got me thinking, would you mind coming into my classroom and gathering some data about a question that I have or a goal that I'm working on? And so it was organic in that sense that they got to experience coaching without feeling like someone was coming into their classroom to observe them, which was a necessary shift, because before that, the only time that people had been required or even that the school was really encouraging them to go into each other's classrooms was for a more evaluative purpose. So now the idea of being invited into your colleague's classroom just to gather some data for them made it way less threatening, and people were more willing to try it themselves then.
So their first experiences with coaching
was being the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, neat. What do you think is the long-term culture that you're looking to create by the work you're doing now?
We want a collaborative learning culture where everyone is in and out of each other's rooms and able to facilitate the learning of all students and have that collective responsibility. But to get there, I think we're really still working now in building those trust relationships and moving to ensure that people understand that no one is coming in to pass judgment or to provide information that they're not seeking in these coaching situations, and I'll really allow them to get into the professional growth, and building that trust is essential now. But I see that we're making gains and making progress and hoping that we continue on that journey so that ultimately classrooms are open and people are in and out and feel it's not threatening at all.
Well, Brianna, thank you so much. I've enjoyed working with you and the teams here.
We have completely enjoyed all of our work with you. So thank you for helping us on this journey.
Well, I'll look forward to come back and doing a podcast a year from now.
Yes.
And have you report in on the continued growth.
Definitely.
I must say that one of the things that I've learned in working with the teams here is the critical importance of the teacher's work being driven by a goal. So when the administrators are working with the teachers and setting a goal going into the teacher's professional growth, and that goal is connected to making something happen for students, having an impact on that student learning, and that's what's driving the teacher's work then, the clarity of the coach's role just emerges.
The model, we follow your model of looking at student achievement is guided by student behavior, which depends on change in teaching behavior. So we refer back to that a lot, and our administrators reference that model when they're working with the teachers to help them set their goals at the start of the year as well.
And I've been finding the same thing true in the work I'm doing with professional learning communities. And I think we're going to see more and more professional learning communities growing coaching programs and coaching programs growing professional learning communities. The job embedded piece of those two things together, I think, will meld. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you have a program that that you're using to assist in dealing with this need for evaluation and at the same time motivating growth, I'd love to get a note and connect back with you and hear more about it.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.